Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Chwaba.
Hello, Wisconsin. Oh, my voice cracked. I just went through puberty right at the top of the show. This never happened before. Hey, welcome to Nightlight. I'm Pete Chwaba, your host, back in the chair on a Monday night. Hope you are having a swell Monday wherever you are listening from. It's great to have you with me tonight on this, I don't want to say frigid, but I would say probably the coldest day since maybe May. It definitely feels like fall, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I feel like this whole weekend, it really felt like it was fall.
Yeah, and was it Friday that was so gorgeous?
Yeah, where you could go outside still in a t-shirt and
but
still
not just
be fine.
It was like it felt like still kind of like summer, but not humid. Yeah. It was amazing. We went from that to this. Although it's supposed to get back. All I need is the hope when I look at my weather app that it's going to get warm again, that we're still not saying goodbye completely to warm weather, because I think it's supposed to be in the mid to high 60s later in the week again. So I'll take that. Yeah. You might be able to golf again, buddy. How was your weekend?
Yeah, all I did was watch football pretty much.
You know what? On Sunday, that's all I did. Like, I had a really busy Saturday, and I said, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to lay around all day Sunday. I didn't watch football. I watched a couple movies, but I did watch some football with my folks, and it was delightful. Sunday's supposed to be a day of rest. I had no problem doing that. So it was a lovely day. And now we're back at it, though. This is fun, too. I actually like the week. I like the structure of the week. I like knowing I have to prep the show, take care of any other business I have to take care of, drive to Green Bay, do the show, and drive home. I do better when there is structure. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Honestly, because my whole adult life, I've basically been self-employed. And when you're your own boss, it takes a special kind of discipline to do the things you have to do. Like, if you're trying to sell a screenplay, it's like, nah, I'm just not going to write today. One day's not going to matter. And then that turns into a week. And it's like, oh, okay, I have no money coming in the second half of the year. So you get to it. But I like this. I like the structure of the daily routine. What do you do before you come in here, Conrad? Do you have a daily practice?
Today, I don't know. I usually do, but today I felt so lazy because I went outside and I was like, it is so cold. I don't want to do anything outside anymore.
That's a little dramatic. You know, this is Wisconsin.
Yes.
Northern Wisconsin.
I just don't think I was ready for it completely yet.
Yeah, it was a little deceiving. When I got up this morning, it was light out and it was sunny and it was like, it looked warm.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of strange. But it is great to be back doing the show, doing Nightlight for all of you, wherever you're joining us from in Wisconsin. It's great to have you here on this Monday night. Let's start the week strong so we can finish strong. How does that sound? I sound like a coach there?
A little bit, yeah.
Conrad, take a knee. All right. let's come out of the gate. We got great guests tonight. A lot of fun stuff planned. Steve Knoll from the Bartell Theater in Madison will be here, talking about some of the fun, scary events they have lined up this month. I hosted a Q&A at that theater last spring for the Wisconsin Film Festival. And it was the first time I'd ever been in there. It's a really cute, kind of charming little theater just off the Capitol Square. I didn't even know it existed. And I just kind of fell in love with the place. And I started talking to people and I was like, oh, we got great stuff going on here all year. They have live theater. They have movies. It's kind of a cultural haven. So Steve will be here at 6:35. They're showing Psycho later this month and Hocus Pocus. They have like an adult scary movie and a kid's scary movie, and that's going on. They have all kinds of other fun stuff going on this month, and Steve will tell us all about it. If you are in the Madison area, take notes, people. It's going to be fun. And then our old pal Matt Miller drops by tonight at 7:20. We've had some technical issues with Matt the last couple times, but I think we got it figured out. Sometimes it's just like stuff just happens like that. It's like serendipitous. It's like, you got to be kidding me. This is happening again. One time we had something going on our end, and Matt's phone ran out of battery, and then it's pandemonium. But Matt's back tonight. We're going to start afresh, a foot afresh, however that goes. And Matt will talk about scary movies and all kinds of other stuff going on in the world of entertainment that he covers so brilliantly in his hometown of Milwaukee. So he'll shed some light on what's happening at the theaters. And I wonder if Matt has seen Terrified. Was it Terrorizer? What's that movie called?
Terrifier.
You called it Terrorizer. Now I'm calling it Terrorizer. Yeah, Matt. I wonder if Matt has seen that, because that got good reviews and did well at the box office and audiences liked it. I think it looks absolutely terrifying. But Matt, I know, has seen, he just told me what he saw. What was it? And I was anxious to talk to him about it. Joker 2. Because Ben Reiser was on the show last week and he liked Joker 2. And critics have panned it. Audiences have panned it. And I appreciate that Ben kind of took a stand and said, you know, I kind of liked it. So we'll see what Matt has to say. That'll be fun as well. Halloween is right around the corner. I don't know if you've all bought your candy yet, but as I get older, now my kids don't trick-or-treat anymore. That was a really fun chapter, taking them out, following them around. I had a pirate suit every year. That was my go-to. I'm sorry, not a pirate suit, a prisoner suit that I bought for like $4. I would just follow them around, kind of half-hearted dressing up to follow the kids around the neighborhood. But now we're just those candy giver outers. And I'm wondering what people give out for candy. Do you go all out? Do you just give the Bit of Honey? Was it Bit of Honey that was the worst candy we decided?
No, I think it was the Milk Duds.
It was the Milk Duds.
Yeah, because those take so long to chew through.
Yeah, you should have to leave a neighborhood if Milk Duds is what you give out. That's tonight's question, ladies and gentlemen. What do you give out? What candy do you give out during Halloween? The trick-or-treaters come by. What are you putting in their baskets? Are they going to look up at you and give you that look like, how big of a loser are you? Are you serious with this candy? Or do they grin ear to ear? What are you giving out? I want to know. I need some suggestions, too, because I think I gave out M&M's last year. But I'm always up for trying something new, maybe some little Snicker bars. You know, when I was growing up, this is insane. There was a family on our block in Chicago, and the guy would roll up 10 pennies in like a little thing, like a paper bag type material. And he would give you 10 pennies. Like, he obviously had tons of pennies in his house. He would wrap those up and hand those out for Halloween. Now, that's kind of lame on the surface, but when you think about what this guy did, he took the time to put 10 pennies together, and as a kid, getting 10 cents in the 70s, not terrible. It's probably like getting, what, 50 cents now?
I don't think I'd be excited as a kid.
I wasn't,
getting it,
but having perspective, I'm like, this guy is still giving out U.S. currency. And he's taking the time to wrap it up. So, whatever. His wife had probably been saying for years, get rid of those pennies. And he found a way. But I think this year I'll probably stick with Snickers. That's the easiest. But candy is expensive. So let us know. Are you cutting corners? There is cheaper candy and there are the generic brands. So what are you guys giving out? Let us know here. And you can let us know on the stream. You can text us using the Civic Media app, which is so convenient, or just on the text line. Conrad, how can people watch the stream? How can they watch the radio?
So we're on Facebook, Nightlight with Pete Schwama, or WGBW. We're on YouTube, Civic Media, or WGBW. And on X, we're on Civic Media, or WGBW.
I kind of did the math today, speaking of pennies. And I want to thank the listeners, because I think this is kind of cool. We haven't asked for many likes. There's probably been a handful of times where we've said, hey, give us a like or a follow if you're on Facebook or Twitter or, you know, wherever, Instagram. But I looked at the page today. We have 524 likes. We're averaging about 2 likes a day. Not likes, follows.
We should have had a 500 like special.
We should have, but here's where I'm going with this. We're coming up on our 1-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Less than 2 months away. So, and we've done what we do, average 5 shows a week. That averages out probably to 2 likes or 2.5 likes a day. So I would like to thank you, the listener, for following, liking, whatever it is you do to help make Nightlight a success. Thank you so much, and it's great to have you with us tonight. As I mentioned, Steve Knoll from the Bartell Theater in Madison will be here at 6:35. Our old pal Matt Miller dropping by at 7:20. And did you watch... all right, give us a Packer update, Conrad. I know we have tons of Packer listeners, Packer fan listeners, so I feel like we need to impart your wisdom on them. So go.
Well, I mean, I was really happy with the performance that they had. I mean, in every aspect of the game besides kicking, we played amazing. Jordan Love looked fantastic. We have really good depth in our receiving core. And, I mean, even our two running backs played well.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Wilson and Josh Jacobs. And our defense, I say this is the best I think I've seen them all year. And it was great.
You guys have like four wide receivers who are all really good. Like none of them are Pro Bowl yet. Maybe they will be, but
Jaden Reed should be.
Yeah.
He should be this year. If he isn't, I'm going to have to talk to someone.
Who do you talk to about something like that?
I don't know.
Hello, my name is Conrad Krieger. Mr.
I'm
Goodell.
Email him. Send a.
Hi, this is Roger Goodell. I might have, if we go to the Schwab archives, we might have that on tape.
Oh, okay.
Tape. We'll figure it out.
Well, yeah, I was really happy with it. And the only thing that I can question right now is that, you know, Braden Narvinson, our kicker, our rookie kicker, is the worst in the league.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's missed five field goals now, which, I mean, that's 15 points. And, you know, we've lost games by seven or less. And so, I mean, sometimes you just...
Sounds like there might be an opening there for you.
You know, I don't think I'd do much better.
You're just kicking. How hard can it be?
Yeah, I think I'd miss everyone. Every single kick.
All right, so when we come back, I'm going to tell you guys about the sketch we almost did here, but that I panicked because I just got another idea to do another one involving the lovable producer, Conrad. So fun show tonight. Great guests. We're going to hear a little Simpsons when we come back, and I'll tell you about my sketch that we almost did. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Great to have you with me on this Monday night on the Civic Media Radio Network. I feel like, I swear, I'm not trying to like pick on you or anything, but like you've been playing the Sanford and Son theme like it's your personal theme song. It's like, I feel like it's like when I sent that to you, it was because I think it was the anniversary, but it reminds me a little bit of how they play the barking dog singing Jingle Bells over and over at Christmas time. Like that was supposed to be a one-time thing in the 70s. You just like the music?
I do. I think it's a good intro.
I think it's pretty good, too. Okay, so our question tonight is, what candy are you giving out this year for Halloween? Maybe it's the same stuff you give out every year. I don't know, but we'd love to know. I'd like some suggestions because, you know, I kind of go with the same thing every year. It's either M&Ms or Snicker bars or something. But every once in a while, you show up at somebody's house and you get something. You're like, oh, yeah, forgot this even existed. So that's the question tonight. What are you going to give out for Halloween this year? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. So, okay, I had what I thought was this great sketch idea that I was going to do. I got very excited a week ago today. And it was, you know, Conrad went to Italy recently, and I was going to have him end up at one of Sean Diddy Combs's freak-offs in New York during a layover. He had some time to kill. He thought it was a stake-off and showed up at Diddy's mansion. And it was just Conrad kind of walking around mingling and his audio of the questions he was asking. And it's, you know, some funny stuff that you were going to say. I wrote you some funny lines. It was like, hey, Mr. Combs, you're out of cold cuts. Oh, Twister. I love Twister. You know, Twister's third floor, kid, whatever. But I got talked out of it. All of a sudden, my family, which is a typically pretty funny family, turned into the FCC. And they talked me out of it. They're like, Dad, that's a very sensitive topic. And I know it is. I'm not like going to belittle people that he's a terrible guy. So it seems, you know, guilty till innocent till proven guilty. But So I bailed. I got cold feet. I am not nearly as edgy, apparently, as I used to be, even though I didn't think that was that edgy of a sketch. What do you think, Conrad? You didn't have a problem with it.
I thought it would have been, you know, pretty funny, but okay. I don't want to incriminate myself.
You think there are going to be criminal charges pressed against you? All right, so whatever. We'll think of something else, though. I got to start churning out more sketches here. Our question, I just repeated it. We've got some good answers here so far. Where am I going? I got to scroll back. I got to make sure I don't scroll back till Friday. Steve in the 262. Steve from Milwaukee says, needs or skills? What do you think? Nerds. I bet nerds. He means nerds. Yeah. Yeah. They're basically just a sugar explosion. They're both dynamite.
Nerds are so good. I can't believe I forgot about those when we were talking about the favorite candy. Because
yes.
Nerds ropes were my favorite candy growing up. Those things are so good.
I went to the movies with my son about 3 years ago. He would have been about 20 then. And he ordered, I ordered like popcorn and a Coke or something. He goes, can I get a box of Nerd ropes? I looked at him like he knew I was going to look at him. He immediately knew I was going to chastise him for that order. I had never even heard of Nerd ropes, but they are delicious. And Nerds, probably 5 years ago, I went through my daughter's Halloween candy. She doesn't like Nerds. And I put about 7 of those little boxes in my mouth of Nerd. It was like a Nerd explosion. No, no. It was like a sugar overload. It was delicious. And I'm too old to be doing that. Tom from New Berlin says, hot mic. The lawyers were glad no swearing. There's got to be some autocorrect in there somewhere. I know hot mics are like the little tamale candies, right?
I'm not actually sure
hot
what
mic,
that text
hot
means.
Hot mic, the lawyers were glad no swearing. Oh, the lawyers.
It might be a different show. Yeah, I think it might be.
Hot mic, the lawyers were glad no swearing. Was I swear? I didn't swear. I hope that wasn't aimed at me, Tom, because I don't swear. I do not curse. I don't see the need. It's beneath me. Totally lying. Steve from Florida, Conrad's dad, says, Pete, good evening. Paula and I pride ourselves on handing out a toothbrush and a tube of toothpaste to each trick-or-treater. Just joking. Yeah, that would make them the least popular people on the block. Steve says, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. I know this about your dad now after doing this show for a while. He loves Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
I mean, how can you not?
How can you not? I totally agree. Maybe I'll go with Reese's this year. He says Reese's Peanut Butter Cups is what we hand out, which is our favorite. So if we have any left, we can enjoy. Very resourceful, Steve. Love it. Yeah, your dad and I agree on quite a few things, Conrad. I'm finding out. Amanda says, Amanda from WGBW says, we hand out bags of chips, stickers, and hug juices. I think she means bug juices.
No, the hug juices.
What's a hug juice?
The little barrels.
That's what those are called?
Yeah.
Because remember, they used to serve something called bug juice.
Oh, yeah,
those
no.
Little,
those
that's
are,
what I thought maybe.
Those are really good, too. But the hug juices are amazing.
Oh, I kind of like that. It's very...
I'll send you a picture. So you
very
know.
Loving, too. Yeah, please. Thank you, Amanda. Llama from Madison says, I always loved going trick-or-treat with the kids and running into a house giving out jello shots. Wow, you live in a fun neighborhood. Llama, they weren't doing that in my neighborhood. I'm not going to say we haven't been invited in for a beer occasionally, but to just give the parents shots as you're walking in what has typically been cold weather, at least in Marinette, when we first moved back here, that would have really helped. That would have helped us get through it. Pamela from Wisconsin Rapids says, Three Musketeers, Milky Way, Hershey mini bars, Kit Kat bars, nothing with peanuts due to a peanut allergy, as I love the leftover candy bars. We have some very... We're getting some great insights here and very resourceful listeners because everyone is planning for the leftover candies, and I love that. And actually, Pamela, those are all fantastic candies. Three Musketeer, I would say, is the bar is low. Those are like the last ones I would go for in a bag of candy, but Milky Way, Hershey mini bars, Kit Kat bars, all dynamite. And that's nice that you don't give out stuff with peanuts in it. Tom from New Berlin says, dudes, you were on the air before your introduction. I didn't read that. Thanks, Tom. Tom from WAUK. What could I have said?
Nothing bad.
Nothing bad. I don't swear, Tom. I don't know what you're talking about. All right. Steve Null from the Bartell Theater in Madison will be here. They've got some really cool stuff happening at their theater. So join us. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back after Civic Media award-winning news. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. For Tom in New Berlin, our one of our most loyal listeners, Tom, was trying to give us a warning that we had a hot mic. I think there's a candy, though, called Hot Mike. I thought he was talking about.
It's Hot Tamales, isn't
it's
it?
Hot Tamales and Ike and Mike. Maybe that's what I'm.
Mike and Ike.
Mike
yes.
and Ike. So those I got confused, good. But he said, Tom, you actually heard part of a Hollywood beat we were editing. So it was me talking. And I don't swear during those, so we were okay. But it was a little bit of a... But I appreciate you having our backs. Thank you very much. Because I swear like a sailor on breaks, I will say that. F-bombs all over the place. Great to have you with me tonight. Tonight's question is, what candy will you give out this year for Halloween? Give us some suggestions. Tell us what you like to give out. Good ones so far. Pennies seem to be the worst. So far, when I was a kid, a guy would give out 10 cents wrapped up in a little bag. Terrible as a child. But you're very welcome, Tom. Thank you. And all right, so we're going to, Matt Miller is here at 7:20. We're going to talk about Joker Folie à Deux. Matt saw it. That movie has just tanked. I mean, it was number one last week. It had an 80% drop off this week. So people are not liking what they see. So I'll be anxious to get Matt's take at 7:20 tonight. Right now, I am about to welcome a first-timer into Nightlight here. We have not had this gentleman on the show before, but it is a pleasure to have him here tonight. He's the vice president of the Bartell Theater in Madison, and he joins us now to talk about some of the fun things they have going on there this month, Steve Null. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. I said your last name correctly, right?
You did.
Okay.
Yep.
It's always... Yep. I kind of thought...
Those weird German names that no one knows how to say.
I'm traumatized because my name is Schwabba, and people I've heard a lot of different. I mean, it's not a terribly hard name to dissect. I don't think Schwabba, but you'd be surprised what I've heard over the years. So I'm glad I got yours right because I can really. I almost said Null, but Null is better.
I know what you're saying.
Okay,
I've heard worse.
Steve's already had enough of me. All right, so it's great to have you here. By the way, how are things in Madison tonight, Steve?
Doing good. Fall has finally showed up, so
yeah.
We're very happy about that.
And are you a fall guy? Do you like the fall?
I am a fall guy, yes. I would. I even like the movie The Fall Guy.
Did you?
So I, if it could be fall all year round, yes. You'll never hear me complain in January because I complain a lot in August.
Well, you guys are in a great spot there, too, because in fall, the Capitol Square is beautiful. Madison's just a great place to be, so... you have such a neat little theater there. I admitted at the top of the show, Steve, that I had never been into the Bartell before last spring when I hosted a Q&A there for the Wisconsin Film Festival. And I was surprised what a great venue it made for film, but you obviously have live theater there too.
Mm-hmm.
You're right off the Capitol Square. Tell listeners a little bit about the theater, if you would, before we jump into some of the stuff you have lined up.
Yeah, we are literally a half a block off the Capitol, so... interesting, the building was originally a movie theater. It was the building shell itself is over 100 years old, and it's been a dance hall. It was a bowling alley at some point. In the late 60s, it was remodeled into a movie theater. The first movie they showed was Paint Your Wagon with Clint Eastwood, and the less said about that, the better. and, you know, that was kind of the rise of the independence of movies, and so they showed a lot of independent stuff. However, by the end of the 70s, that independent had turned into, let's just say, nature films. Okay.
Like au naturel people?
All naturel,
oh, okay.
Yes. And I'm too young to to have seen those.
I don't want to say that sounded prudish, Steve, but it was tasteful. I like the way you put that. So well done.
Well, I have done plays with a lot of full frontal nudity, so I know my way around a vision. So
well said. Okay.
But anyway, it was Marcus bought the theater actually and retrofitted it into a 2-screen theater. They basically took the balcony area and closed it, put up a screen for a small room. And then the main floor was the big room. And throughout the 80s and 90s, showed a lot of regular movies. I growing up in Madison, I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark, E.T.
Oh, nice.
Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, Terminator 2, you know, all these movies. It was then called the Esquire Movie Theater. By the 90s, you know, Marcus had pretty much moved everything out to the suburbs. So they did not renew their lease. The building kind of fell into disrepair. And a group of theater people actually got together and raised a couple million bucks and retrofitted the interior to 2 theater spaces. But they did it opposite to how they did movies. They put in a floor and they made the upstairs, they took out that wall where the screen was. They made the upstairs the big theater, which is a 200-seat traditional proscenium theater. And then the downstairs became a lobby and then what's called a black box theater and then rehearsal spaces. Huh. So I've been doing shows there since the early 2000s. It's been close to 25 years now. I've been producing and directing shows. And I have long wanted to bring movies back to the Bartel for two reasons. Number one, you know, there really isn't a movie theater in downtown Madison anymore. You know, everything's either become a concert hall. You know, the UW has Cinematheque and they will show stuff and they show some really great, interesting stuff. A lot of it's curated, though, towards more of the college arts crowd. And I thought it would be fun to have something that's a little more like, you know, let's just have fun and watch a movie. This isn't film, it's movies, okay?
Right.
So that's a thing I always want to do. And then also, you know, when we do plays, it's generally a weekend performance. We'll do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday performances, and the theater sits what's called dark Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays. And I always wanted to have a way to fill up the dark nights. And I thought having a movie series would be kind of a neat way. So interesting enough, what happened, in fact, this actually involves the Wisconsin Film Festival. We have to thank them for what happened. Is in Hilldale Mall here in Madison, there was it was originally a Sundance movie theater, then it became an AMC, and then they shut it down. And the Wisconsin Film Festival was using the AMC theater as like their host theater. And when it shut down, you know, they had a really good relationship and they basically said to the film festival, do you want a movie projector? We have 5. So they gave one to the film festival who then came to us and said, we've used your space before, but when we've gone in there, we've had to rent equipment, rent a projector, rent a screen. Can we like bring our projector there and just leave it and then use it when we need it? And we're like, yes.
Score.
Yeah. So we went about, we raised about $40,000 in grant money and we've been able to purchase a full scale screen and then the audio equipment to kind of set up a movie theater environment. So we have to do it when there's no play running. That's, you know, we're kind of in a phase one. We'll see how this goes. This isn't like a drop down electric screen that we can raise back up. We literally have to have the stage empty because it fills the full stage. Huh. So that's kind of what we're going to do is we're going to kind of look at, there are 4 theater companies that use the Bartel that rotate. And we're going to kind of look for weeks in between their performances and then put up movies. So once we put up the screen, our goal is to show 2 to 3 movies in that probably 1 week window of time.
Very nice.
Yeah. So we're trying to curate it and trying to look at a couple different audiences. You know, the whole idea is, you know, let's just have some fun with this. So we're actually going to start this out on Friday, the 25th of October, yeah. Week from Friday. We're going to show The Big Lebowski.
I saw that. That got me so happy.
And we just thought, it's a fun movie, and all our tickets are going to be $5.
Wow.
So, you know, it's downtown. You can walk if you live downtown. And I decided if we're going to do a costume contest, we're going to try to make this fun. Then that Saturday, since it's the Saturday before Halloween, in the afternoon, we're going to do a family-friendly showing of Hocus Pocus, the Disney movie.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do a late-night showing of Hocus Pocus at 9 p.m. Aim for the grown-ups. You know, no kids.
Hmm.
The bar will be open. Witch's Brew will be going. So, you
for
know,
Hocus Pocus. That's hilarious.
I think that'll be fun. So people that are kind of maybe want to go downtown for Halloween, that Saturday in downtown Madison for Halloween usually gets pretty crazy.
Maybe the next morning do a wake and bake and show Winnie the Pooh. That could be fun,
well,
too.
Well, like, you know, never say never. However, the interesting thing is in between all that stuff at 6:30,
yes.
I wanted to do something. I'm a big movie buff, and but I had to remember in picking these movies, this isn't for me. This is for the audience. But I'm like, hey, I'm doing all this work, putting all this together. I get to pick one. So I'm picking one of my all-time favorite movies, and that's Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho.
That is so great.
What's really fun is this is a version of Psycho most people probably haven't seen. This is an uncut version of the movie that hasn't been in theaters since the 60s. And a lot of people don't even know that there's an uncut version of Psycho. There's a whole history behind this is, you know, Hitchcock produced the movie himself, so he owned it.
Right.
And he sold his company to Universal Studios, late 60s, early 70s, around there. Universal then, because they had a television division, wanted to put Psycho into a television movie slot. So the first edit came from the TV censor, who took out about 12 seconds of footage. It's not a lot, but they took out 12 seconds. And then the commercial people took out 10 minutes. So they could fit the movie to run in a two-hour time slot with the allotted commercial time they needed. So in the 80s, when home video came out and Universal went to release the uncut version of Psycho, they put the 10 minutes cut for commercials back in, but they forgot the stuff that the censors had cut out earlier. So as a result, now it's not a lot, but you have to remember, this is a movie that every frame has been analyzed. There are documentaries and about this. So the fact that there's a little more nudity and a little more violence is pretty amazing. And I think a lot of people who maybe have seen Psycho, you know, when I heard about this a couple of years ago, I'm like, oh, please, uncut version of Psycho. This is a marketing gimmick. And then I saw it and I'm like, I don't remember that shot. Wait, I don't remember that shot. So I'm really happy that ticket sale of all the movies that weekend, Psycho's the one that's selling the best. I think we're going to sell it out by this weekend.
That does not surprise me. My guest is Steve Knoll. He's the vice president of the Bartell Theater in Madison. We're talking about some of the fun stuff they have coming up, leading up to Halloween. Steve, okay. So Psycho, how hard was it to track down that restored print, I guess it would be, or this print that people haven't seen? Did you have to work harder to do that? Was it more to license it?
No, actually not. In fact, it's interesting. You know, we live in a digital world now.
Yeah.
You know? So the projector that we have is a digital projector. So everything we're going to be showing is digital, which is no different than what Marcus uses at all their theaters. Nobody shows film anymore. UW still has a 35 mil. They occasionally will do it if they can get a print, but most of the stuff they even show is digital. So we're showing these movies digitally, and as a result, we can just source them off any digital format. So it's interesting. The company that we're working with that's providing us with the films had Psycho. We licensed it. We pay, you know, this is all licensed.
Right.
And I asked him, I said, so which version is it? And I told him this whole story. And they had to check, and sure enough, they have the old version. So we actually have a 4K DVD of the uncut version. It's the only way it's been released. A couple years ago, Universal released a box set of Hitchcock movies, 4K restorations, Psycho being kind of their gem on that first collection. So that's how we're sourcing it, is we're sourcing it right from that. But it's also on the big screen, and that's, you know, that's the big draw here.
Yeah. This is so great.
Which actually is, you know, that's 35 millimeter resolution.
Right. We just got a text. I wanted to share this with you, Steve, from the 608. It says, I love the Bartel. I go to almost every performance and have spent my New Year's Eves there for the last decade for the ball drop blitz, where multiple mini plays are written and rehearsed within 24 hours and then performed the next night, New Year's Eve. Love to support local theater, and the majority of performances have been excellent. Monica in Mount Horeb. So my guest is Steve Knoll. We're going to do a quick thing here, and then we're coming right back. We're going to explore this psycho thing a little more and talk about some of the other stuff that the Bartel Theater is bringing your way. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. So on October 26th, the Bartel Theater in Madison is showing Hocus Pocus for the kids at 2:30, Psycho at 6:30 for the grown-ups, presumably, and another showing of Hocus Pocus happens at 9:30 on the same night, and the bar at the Bartel will be open. My guest is Steve Knoll. He's telling us all about this very cool theater just off the Capitol Square in Madison that you have, if you have not been to, you need to check out, and what better day to do so than the 26th. But Steve, you kind of rambled over a really great event you guys are having awfully quickly, and that's the Big Lebowski on the 25th. Can you elaborate? That became one of my favorite films upon the third or fourth viewing, and I know that, you know, a lot of people say, well, if you didn't love it the first time, most people don't go back to a film. A lot of people went back to that and realized they loved it. I don't understand it. I lived in LA for years. Maybe I didn't live there yet and I didn't get it. I don't know, but I love that movie so much now.
Yeah. It's, you know, the Coen brothers who did that movie, a lot of their films are like that. People don't necessarily get them the first time, but Barton Fink was one that I watched and I'm like, what am I watching? Right. And then for some reason I went back a couple years ago and watched it again. And I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
So, And Big Lebowski is one of those movies that I think just keeps getting better the more you see it.
Right.
And I think that is what its draw really is. And, you know, it's been fun reading some of the comments about, you know, the movie. Once we announced it, people immediately were starting posting things. And a lot of people were like, what is this? And I'm like, you have to see the movie. You know, then you'll get it.
So they haven't seen it yet.
There are
really
some people.
Interesting.
Yeah, there are people who haven't. So, in fact, the whole idea of a costume contest, that actually came from people on Reddit talking about it, saying that, you know, there needs to be a costume contest. It wasn't a request. It was almost a demand that you will have a costume contest. So we're like, let's have a costume contest.
For Lebowski characters?
For Big Lebowski. Oh, yeah, we'll do that so Friday night. Great. And then we're going to do it again Saturday afternoon for the kids for Hocus Pocus. Two sets of judges, two different prizes, two different audiences. But I'm kind of curious as to how Big Lebowski. See, my goal is to really find these movies that people want to see in a communal setting.
Right.
You know, and have fun with this. And, you know, if we can do something like the Big Lebowski on a Friday night and then something for the kids in the afternoon and then something, you know, maybe a little more classic the next, you know, the evening, to me, that's a nice weekend. November after Thanksgiving, we're going to do Elf and It's a Wonderful Life.
Nice.
So I thought that would be a nice, you know, we thought about a Friday night movie too, but that's the Friday after Thanksgiving and probably still a lot of family stuff, but
right
by Saturday, you're sick of the family and you gotta even during the kids show, we're going to have the bar open. So, cause you know, parents sometimes need a little bit of a escape too.
Do you accept fake IDs? How stringent are your rules?
Unfortunately, we're pretty strict. So.
You know, it's interesting you say that because there are so many films like this could go on forever if you guys are successful, because I've showed films to my son who shows them to his friends and they make new fans. Like Midnight Run, my son's 24. That's one of his favorite movies. Mm-hmm. And it's a movie he probably never would have seen had I not showed it to him. Now his friends love it too. I mean, it seems like you could get so much mileage out of this by showing films that other places just aren't showing on the big screen.
Well, and that's why we really wanted to keep the ticket prices low. We're keeping all our tickets at $5 because that way, you know, even if you've seen it 10 times, you know, just the whole idea of seeing it in the theater with a big crowd of people, that it just changes the viewing experience.
Definitely.
And that's the fun of this, is we want people to, you know, just kind of come back to the theater, just have a good time. And again, learn about the Bartel. I think you're not alone in that. A lot of people just don't know we exist. You know, we have Overture on the other side of the square, and everybody knows Overture, and they're great. They're actually a parent company to us.
Oh.
So, but you know, but we're very different. You know, the stuff that we're community theater. We're all volunteer. You know, the people doing the shows are doing it for the passion of it. Nobody's making money. We're doing it for fun. And we want that to come through in the stuff that we do. It's interesting that Monica mentioned Baldur Blitz on New Year's Eve. I wrote for that last year. The one about the horny numbers, that was me. So
I'll have to look for that.
Yeah, that's a crazy night. It's 24 hours of intensity, but it's called a Blitz. And the Bartel has been doing Blitzes for probably 20 years. New Year's Eve ones, I think this year will be like the eighth or ninth. New Year's Eve show, and it's all everything is written, rehearsed, created, and performed in 24 hours.
Oh, that sounds crazy. So fun. we have to do. Can you stick around for a few minutes, Steve,
after
the news? Okay, perfect. I want to ask you about some of the other things you have going on. You've got the Big Lebowski on the 25th, folks, October 25th at 8 p.m. That's a Friday. Then the next night, the 26th, you have Hocus Pocus for the Kids at 2:30. Restored version of the film Psycho with footage you may have not seen before. That's at 6:30, and then another showing of Hocus Pocus for the adults at 9:30. Sounds like a fun lineup. I want to ask you maybe what you guys have coming up as we get closer to the holidays. And a film more, I saw that you are auditioning people. So you're doing original shows too, which I think is so cool. We'll talk about that too after some award-winning news here at Civic Media. Steve Knoll is my guest from the Bartel Theater in Madison. We'll have more with Steve in a few minutes. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Progress.